out, there was about 200 of our family members, and everybody left completely satisfied. The food was great. The service, my brothers were asking me, well, you know, how did we do it with the food? I said, the church provided it, man. So I want to thank all of you for what you all did. All we had to do was just go and sit there and enjoy. And the meal was phenomenal. There was all coming from fried chicken to lasagna. There was just so much, even food left over. We didn't know how many were going to come, because just in my immediate family, brothers and sisters and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, we're close to about 140 of us. So that's a lot of Mexican. So, you know, we didn't know who else was going to come. But as they came, they were fed. So I really, from the bottom of my family's heart, want to thank all of you for participating. Have you all noticed the landscaping? That's what's in the mind of that man by the wall that there, Luigi. You wouldn't think he had all that in his mind. He's been doing a great job. I mean, I hate to even look out the window, because he's just there all day long, and that's one thing that I have a passion about, you know, working on the grounds. And right now I can't do it, but I'll be out there, brother, sooner or later. So don't work too fast, you won't finish it. honey, do you don't need me to announce okay. Y'all know that Officer Summers is going to Honduras. Her plane tickets paid for, but we're gonna make a plate sale to be able to sustain her while she's there. So if there's anyone that wants to donate a box of chicken, I don't mean like churches or Bill Miller's, I mean a box of dead chickens. If you want to help us out, say, you know what, I'll donate a box of chicken, or I'll donate a box of sausage. Let them talk to you, honey, or who? Okay, you can talk to my wife. And November? Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. All righty. Well, then let's go ahead and, keep Brother Elihu's mom in your prayers. She just went through a thing where it could only have been the hand of God that pulled her through. So please continue to pray for Elihu's mother, okay? All right. Well, let's get started. You know, I've been talking to you guys about rightly dividing the word of truth out of 2 Timothy 2:15. And, you know, we have this tendency of breaking down the Bible into certain areas where we separate certain things, and we can never connect the lines together. And remember this word: the gospel is a seamless message. It has no breaks, no interruptions, no destruction. It all runs together. That's why he's the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, because Jesus was not plan B. God didn't come and do something and say, oh, well, man Man messed it up. Man failed. So I've got to figure something else out. The crucifixion wasn't an accident. The crucifixion, like I said, is the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Now, here's what I want to get to this morning. When you look at Genesis, it says that after Adam committed sin, he ran from God. Now, did God give him a reason to run? Here's the question that I have for you. Does God ever change? He doesn't. In fact, Hebrews says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So then, when man hid himself from God, what had changed about God? What did God do different to allow man to think he would have to hide from him? God came the same way. God came to Adam the way he had always come. He hadn't come any different. He hadn't changed anything. You couldn't see, you know, some type of fire around God because of his wrath, like some preach. None of those things changed. He came the same way with his love, his grace. But the one that had changed was man. Let me tell you what sin does. Sin causes you to see God with indifference. You commit something and you think God's not going to talk to you. God's not going to give you the time of day. God's not going to listen to you, much less answer your petition or your request. All of those things are false. God does not change. He's the same. So when we go back to Genesis and we see where Adam was going to meet with God, the only thing that had changed was Adam. God's never changed. So when we look at it, of the record of the first three chapters of Genesis, we're able to see what really occurred. And what occurred was man is the one that separated himself, because now he didn't know how to see God. He didn't know how to look at God. He didn't know what God felt. But the one that had changed was Adam. It was not God. Now, you've all heard the verse in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, now, there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Old things are past, and everything's become new. You know, we look at that verse, and the way that it was taught was, well, as long as you're walking a righteous path, as long as you're walking right with the Lord, there'll be no condemnation. But if you're not walking right, condemnation will come. That's not true. Like I said, sin makes you see God with indifference. It doesn't let you see him for the merciful, gracious, loving God that he is. And that's why when you look at it and you go back to the first three chapters of Genesis, you see where Satan came, the adversary, and he began to speak about God in a way where man was now questioning who God really was. He says, did God say that would happen, Adam, if you partook of that tree? And he began to bring in lies about God. Lies that were never proven by God. It was simply a lie. And that's the only thing that Satan could use. That's why I told you, his source of power was when God said, if you partake of it, you will surely die. When Satan heard those words, he says, this is what I'll use to be able to bring this creature down called man. So he used the lie. He says, God already knows that when you partake of that tree, you're not going to die. So what he's doing is saying, look, God really doesn't mean what he says. God says a lot of things, but, you know, you don't have to take it as if that's the way that it is. So as Satan came to deceive man, you already know what happened. He partook of that tree. What tree? The tree of knowledge. So knowledge is one of your worst enemies against God, if it's a knowledge that doesn't come from Holy Spirit. So think about 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, there is now no more condemnation. You see, once you've come to the revelation of the crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension, there is no room for condemnation. None whatsoever. If you sin, it's like you fell, get up, shrug it off, and keep on walking. Everything's all right. See, God is a God that he puts everything together, and he knows what happens even before it's a thought in someone's mind. And he still calls you his child. That's amazing. You don't think he knew that David would go and commit sin with Bathsheba? Of course he knew. And yet, he called him a man after God's own heart. He's amazing. So that verse of 2 Corinthians, what it means that old things are past, that's exactly what they are. When I was contemplating on certain things that I wanted to share this morning, I really felt that there's someone or some of you here that are still battling with condemnation. You're in this battle that continually tells you that you're not good enough. That's the way religion speaks. That's the language of religion. You didn't pray enough. You didn't give enough. You need to do more of this, more of that. That's what religion tells you. But Holy Spirit is your comforter. Holy Spirit is your teacher. And he'll teach you all things. So, again, understand those words that the apostle wrote to the church at Corinth. He said, all things are new. You know, some of us had a terrible upbringing when we were children. Some of us may have been fatherless or motherless. We were, you know, in a bad environment. But nonetheless, regardless of what type of past you've had, Jesus comes and he'll be whatever you need him to be. You need him to be your big brother, your father, whatever you need. He'll be there at your side and he'll never leave you nor ever forsake you. So what I want us to realize is this. When we look at the true story of Genesis, the only change that took place without us catching it was the way that man was seeing God, not the way that God was seeing man. God never wanted to destroy man. Like I said, the union of Father, Son, and Spirit always included mankind. That's why he said, let us make man in our likeness and in our image. That's always been God's plan, that whatever he would do, whatever he would place on the earth, man was the major part of it. What God was doing on the earth was not for God, it was for man, to bless man, that he would raise up a generation of kings and of priests, a royal priesthood, a generation that had never ever been in the history of mankind. I told you before, either you'd enter in to the lineage of kingship or you'd enter in to the lineage of the priesthood. You would never cross them over. It would cause you death. And now he's raising up a generation in these last days of kings. That's people walking with the authority of heaven and a priesthood being able to go and reconcile whatever's fallen from their state with God. That's his plan. So, if you have a problem being able to forget about your past, that you need to call on Holy Spirit. Because Holy Spirit is not going to remind you of any sin. He's not going to remind you of any dark area of your life. He's always going to lift you up and remind you that you are a child of the living God, and that the one who sits on the throne is your heavenly Father. So realize that when we look at the true story of the history of man, it was man that changed, never God. God didn't come a different way. God didn't come for a different reason. In fact, think about it. Do you think he already knew that Adam had sinned? Of course he did. And yet, he still came faithfully, looking to spend time with Adam. But it was Adam who had now changed. And the first thing that he does is try to hide himself from God. So he covered himself with fig leaves. Now what the fig leaves truly represent, you know, I can't tell you, but man still today covers himself by doing things, by giving things, thinking that that is going to cover him from God. God sees everything. So what the apostle wrote to the church at Corinth is simply this. Not only did he say, the old has passed away, he says all things have become new. You know, we all made mistakes. There's a lot of things that I went into as a young man that, you know, you don't know about. I haven't always stood behind a pulpit. I lived a very foolish life, very loose life. But that doesn't weigh me down. It doesn't keep me down. It doesn't mess up my thoughts of thinking, well, you know, how can I go and fulfill this calling after what I've done? No, I don't deal with that stuff. Whatever mistakes I made, whoever I hurt, if my Father's forgiven me, then that's exactly what has happened. I'm forgiven. And that's what you've got to realize. Maybe there's some things that you still feel ashamed of. Why? If Holy Spirit is within you, speaking to you and sharing truth with you, there's no room for condemnation. Well, that's why I'm trying to drive this into your spirit. God never changes. So the one that changed was man. It's right there in the record of the first three chapters of Genesis. And after that, you see a huge change where Lamech goes. And Lamech goes and gets two wives for himself. And polygamy started. And it goes on. And man is just getting worse and worse until the Lord has to come in with his grace and mercy and pull mankind out again. That's what the whole Bible's about. You see the times where Israel went into exile and they would go on under that of other nations, and God would have to come and rescue them. A span of 400 years that they were under Egypt, and regardless of who was in charge, who was in power, who had authority, how big of an army, it doesn't matter what the enemy looked like, God came in and in one night took over 1 million people out of their bondage, and not one dog opened its mouth. Only God can pull off something like that. So here's the thing I'm going to get to. What you and I have to allow the Spirit of God to do is to change the way we believe God to be. Our belief system has to line up with Scripture. Let me tell you what will happen if it doesn't. You start to be harsh with other people. You start to condemn other people. People that aren't saved, people that aren't in church, you're going to start looking at them in a wrong way, with a wrong type of love, thinking that that's, well, if that's the way you feel that God is, well, what are you going to do? You're going to start treating other people the way you think God treats them. And that's not the way that it is. We've got to be compassionate to people. His mercies are new every morning. So if his mercies are new every morning, our mercies must show that towards the lost. That's why they're not rushing into the door. See, we have this view of the world, but so the world has a view about us. You ask them, what do you feel about church people? And you're going to be surprised what you're going to hear. And in no sense, they have every right, because that's the way the church is. you're not saved, if you don't belong to a church or some certain denomination, then, you know, they're not good enough for you. We forget. We've all been in the pit. We've all been with our minds so far from the grace and mercy of God. But it was His mercy that would not give up. See, I'm a firm believer that it is harder to go to hell than it is to go to heaven. I can prove it to you. He's after you every day to make sure that you do not perish in torment. He will wait for a man's last breath to be the name Jesus and still save their soul. They could have lived a wretched life, cursing and drinking and, I mean, whatever you can think of. And if in the end they just say, Jesus, their lives are spared. So for many years, I always thought it was so difficult. Now, you know, narrow is the way and all this and that to get to heaven. Oh, you better live right, and you know, you better make sure you take care of everything, and you know, all this stuff. That's not true. The Holy Ghost has been sent to be able to speak to a man's heart until his last breath. And if at their last breath, it's the name of Jesus on their tongue, guess what? Their next breath is to see Him face to face. That's why it's not just grace. It's amazing grace. How sweet the sound. So we've got to realize that the way that man sees God is not the way that God sees man. It's a total change. So when you read the record of Genesis, you'll see where it was that man began to change. Man began to hide. Man began to run from God and cover himself. God never designed that. It's always been a union with man. The Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, with union with man to see all things done on the earth. See, this is why we've got to come to the understanding that God has given us the power to do on the earth. Remember when Moses didn't know what to do, and God said, part the sea. He said, what do you mean part the sea? I got a stick in my hand. He says, you part it. And Moses raised up that staff, and the sea parted. There are things that many of you are waiting for God to do, and He's already given you the permission to do it. So what are you waiting for? There's things that we're praying for God to do, and God says, I've already equipped you. That's why Jesus said, in the same way the Father gave unto me, He's now given unto you. And that which I have done on the earth, now I've given you the authority to do it as well. So keep the record straight and rightly divide the word of truth. And that is that in the very first three chapters of Genesis, the only one that changed was man. It was never God. And it's the same today. So if you're having difficulty releasing your condemnation, then you're not listening to the Holy Spirit. Because Satan is the father of all lies. And he wants to keep you bound to the point that you say, well, how can I tell my sons, how can I tell my daughters when I'm a person that was guilty of the same things? No, all of that is forgiven. And now that you know the truth, let that truth set them free. So 2 Corinthians 5:17 is a verse that the church has been misguided by, and we've taught it wrong, stating that as long as you walk righteous, you won't have condemnation. But if you walk unrighteous, condemnation will automatically come. That's not true. Because there's all things that have become new, and the old we have been totally forgiven for. Let's pray. Father in heaven, your word, Lord, is with clarity. And it comes to us by the teacher of Holy Spirit. And I pray for this congregation, Lord. You didn't show me who it was. But whoever it is that has been struggling, wrestling, fighting against the lies of the father of all lies, comfort them, Lord. Speak to their hearts and let them know that you've never changed your thoughts towards them. You'll never look down and say, oh, you know, why did I forgive this one? Or why did I bless this one? Or why did I give this to that one? Look at what they're doing. You never have those thoughts towards mankind. Your thoughts are lovely. Your thoughts are always filled with grace and with mercy. So Lord, help us to rightly divide the word of truth. Help us to see with clarity, and for us to understand that condemnation is not for a child of God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our teacher and coming to set the record straight of the way that it was, it is, and shall be forevermore. Because our Father does not change. So Lord, until our belief system lines up with Scripture, that's when true freedom comes. That's the truth that sets us free. But Lord, your thoughts towards us are never evil, and how we bless you for that. And we thank you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.